the sons of Shmuel
yep.
were supposed to be viewed in a very positive light.
I mean, there was don't view them in such a bad
saying. As it, before it gives the story, says the son of anyone who thinks that the sons of Shmuel sinned is simply mistaken.
Correct.
And then it goes on, and it appears as if the story indicates that these were not. This is not a very straight story.
Well,
it's a bad story, or it reflects badly on them.
Well, in other words, the simple reading of the psukim in all of these cases does sound like they did a sin. Like we started with Reuven. Reuven was with his father's wife, and the Gemara says, "Don't think that." But then the Gemara says, "Lamais, it's not so pashut. There's a machlekas tanoim about it." The Gemara brings down five opinions that he wasn't. Two opinions, at least, that he actually sinned, and three opinions that he almost sinned. Although those opinions that he almost sinned was actually he was a big tzaddik, just because he has the taiva didn't mean he's anything bad. Then we saw a similar Gemara with regards to Bnei Eli. It says in the pasuk Beferish that they were with women who came to bring karbanis. The Gemara says that it's not so pashut, but then the Gemara brings down a day that it is pashut. So that you do read the psukim kipshute. So
are we going to get to somewhere where it says that these guys were mistaken and these guys actually were good?
Well, we did. That was right away because it says that the pasuk says that they went. It says that they didn't go after their father, but they didn't sin.
They didn't go after their father and his good midos.
Right.
It seemed like.
Yeah, but to the extent of his father. In other words, instead of like his father, they used to go. Instead of his father, used to go around to the whole city. They used to park themselves in one area. But that's not a sin.
The process. Why did they do that?
And why did they do that? In order to get, but it was all legitimate money. In order to get the people who work for them money, but it's like I don't know if I would call that a sin. That's like Walmart opening up in another place because they want to make more money. I mean, it's still a service to the community. I don't know if I would say that. I wouldn't call that a sin. If that was the sins of the generation, I'd be pretty proud. Yeah, they weren't like their father, who you know. But again, according to all the cases, they weren't great. Reuven also didn't do it. The Gemara says whoever thinks he sinned is mistaken. So what did he do? He moved his father's bed. I mean, that's pretty bad also. The Pasuk is not saying that they're good, that they did a good thing. In all these three cases, the Pasuk says beferish that they did an Avera. It just says, the Gemara says, don't think that they did the Avera. It was on their level. Reuven moved his father's bed. Let's you know, not get carried away. And these guys, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. The point is that they weren't bad. They were kept within the law. So they opened up another branch in order to, you know, make more money. You're right. It was going to charge people to come to court a bit more. But in the end of the day, they didn't do anything wrong. They just didn't go way, way above and beyond like their father did.
Okay. Thank you.
But then the Gemara brings down several other opinions that they actually did do things wrong. They either forced people to give them money or they forced people. You know, there's different opinions. Even these opinions with Reuven. We are always brought up in you know, school that they didn't do anything wrong. That Reuven didn't do anything, moved his father's bed. It's not Pasha. According to five opinions in the Gemara, according to the five to nine, two of them said he actually slept with her, and three of them said that he mamash got sick trying not to. Again, we asked yesterday, so why is Yosef known as Yosef at Tzadik? I mean, it should have been Reuven at Tzadik. All right, okay. Shkerech for bringing up the question.
Thank you, Rabbi.
It's okay, here we go. Amar Shmuel. Bar Nachmeni Amar B'Yanison Kol Ha'imer David Chet. Whoever said David sinned with Basheva, Eina El Atoya. He's making a mistake. Shenemar. Vayihi David L'chol D'rachav Maskil Hashem Imai. David throughout all his ways, but Hashem was with him. So all his ways included his whole life. Ev Shechet, Baal Yodin, you're going to tell me that he sinned with Shechina Imai, and the Shechina was with him. Elamani Mekayim Madua Bazisa is Dvar Hashem La'asoy Sora. Shebik. So what does it mean? Where Nasan and Avi was giving him Musar, you said, you were Mevaz, the word of Hashem, you did bad. Says the Gemara, no, Shebikesh La'asoy. He wanted to do bad. He was going to be with Basheva, but he didn't actually. He wasn't actually with her. Now, he was with her. He eventually married her. But he wanted to be with her even prior to her getting a divorce. Quickly, the background of the story is that Bathsheba was this, in the simple terms, I mean, assuming that the simple pshat in the pasuk also has a pshat. So Bathsheba was a pretty young wife married to Uriah HaChiti, somebody else, and David HaMelech at one point catches a glimpse of her, undressed in the shower, and a huge taiva overtakes him. And again, l'chayr, we could understand the psukim on a simple level as well, and this is probably what happened in Matzias. And a huge taiva overtakes him, and he really desires her, and he arranges that Uriah HaChiti gets killed in the next war, and he then goes ahead and marries Bathsheba. The simple understanding of the psukim is that even before Uriah HaChiti was killed, well, that is the simple understanding. Even before Uriah HaChiti was killed, David HaMelech was with Bathsheba. While Uriah was out to war, David's taiva overtook him, and he was with Bathsheba. He slept with Bathsheba, which is obviously something amazing to understand. That again, that we know when we handle the gedolim, they have a huge taivas. It's not a And it could be understood even on a simple level. So he was so overtaken with passion for her that he was actually with her. Says the Gemara, but he didn't sin. Now, how come? What do you mean? It's before, she was a married lady. The Gemara explains that because David instituted that everybody who goes to war would give a divorce, a get, to their wives. The reason would be because he doesn't want them to be lost in war, and for Yibum, and for Almanais, and Agunais. So therefore, he instituted that everybody gives a divorce document to their wives. And therefore, technically, she was a divorced lady. So even though Shabikish Lassos, his passions overtook him, he was going to do bad no matter what. But it worked out that it wasn't a sin. Shabikish Lassos, V'loy Asa. He wanted to do bad, but he didn't. Rashi says, he wanted l'shachiv ima kaidem shekib l'get. He wanted to lie with her before she received the get. But l'maisa, he didn't. Yesh l'ayin. Did he want to lie with her today, which was before he received the get? Is that what Rashi means? Or does Rashi mean that he wanted to lie with her before he received the get? Was it he wanted to be with a married woman? Or did he want to lie with her today, which was before she received the get? That's, you can clear a chakira. Okay. Says the Gemara. So it says the Gemara Shabikesh Lassi. He actually wanted to do, but he didn't actually end up doing it. Amar Rav, Rebbe says Rav. It's Rav disagreed with this. Rav says no. He actually sinned with her. He was with her before she received the get. Aye, how do we explain? So there's no reason to tie up the psukim like that. Says Rav. So Rav comment. Rebbe, the Asa. Amar Rav, Rebbe, the Asa mi David. Rebbe, who comes from David, he was in the line of David. Mahapech v'darish b'zchusi to David. He was, now I think what it means is that he was saying this, like, and therefore we can't rely on it. I think that's what it means. Mahapech, he switches around the psukim and he darshins it in the zchus of David. Madua b'zizis tvar Hashem, la'as esarah. Why did you disgrace the word of Hashem to do bad? Rebbe Yamar, Mishuna Ra'azim, we call Ra'az Shem Torah. This Ra is different than all the other times it says that he did bad in the Torah. Because all of the times, Shekol Ra'az Shem Torah, Ksiv Behu Vaya'as, he did. The Kang Ksiv La'as is to do. So that's why he dies in the Shabikish La'as is V'la'as. He wanted to do it, but he didn't end up doing it. What was the story? It's Uriah Achite Hekisa Becherev. Uriah Achite, you hit with the sword. Shahay L'chala Doinah B'Sanhedrin. You think Mechatesi to have him arrange him to have him killed in war, which basically what he did. He said, go put him on the front lines and don't help him out. Mechatesi to do that. Teretz is because you held he was married by Malchus. But you should have been dining him with the Sanhedrin. Veloy Dinta, and you didn't dine him with the Sanhedrin. So you were at fault for that. Ves ishta lakachta lecha leisha, and his wife you took for a wife. Likuchin yesh lechaba. He dies and said, lakach, meaning you took her legally, you took her with Kedushin. Whoever went to the wars of in David's wars, he would write a get to their wives. Go bring these 10 charitzei cholov to your brother. This is a pasuk quoting where somebody's saying, go read the, nothing to do with anything. We're going to pull one thing out of here. Where the pasuk is saying, go to your brothers and bring them. Ask your brothers how they're doing in war. And take their aruvasam. What is aruvasam? My aruvasam. The things that connect between your brothers and their wives. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, go to your brothers who are in the war and take their gittin. So we see that soldiers generally divorce their wives.
So
the Gemara is going to come and say this part of the story. V'oisa haragta b'cherev b'nei amayn. And you killed Uriah with cherev b'nei amayn. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Just like cherev b'nei amayn, just like during the wars. And I'm not sure if it means the people who are killed of Ammon, or the Jews who were killed through Ammon. But Benkach or Benkach, David HaMelech is not going to be held at fault for those people because it was a war. What can you do? So too says the Gemara. That's why the Gemara is saying, you're not going to be punished. My time or why not? Lemais, on the end of the day, you killed him. Teretz says, because Uriachiti was a Meirid B'malchus. Because what happened was, Lamaisa, like we said, David was with Bathsheba before they were divorced. So now, David HaMelech was in trouble. If I remember the story correctly, she became pregnant. And David got scared. So, like, hello, talk about scandal. So he went and he had Uriah brought back from the army, because they were back from the war. And he wanted Uriah to be with his wife. And this way, people would blame the baby on Uriah. Because at this point, Uriah was still around, and Bathsheba was now pregnant with David's kid. So, this is an extremely compromising situation. This is besides the fact that I'm sure at this point he still already felt terrible. In fact, when we say during Tefillah, during a thing, there's a whole Tehillim about this. David was doing tshuva for the rest of his life over this. Lamaisa, so he had Uriah come back, and he told Uriah, go be with your wife. David was doing it to cover up, but he didn't tell that to Uriah, obviously. As far as he wanted Uriah to be in the dark about this. So Uriah would say, oh, it's my kid, whatever. Anyways, it was an extreme semblance to the king of Israel. Oh, that's good. So the Gemara says that that Uriah refused. But Adoni Yoav of Avdi, king, you're telling me to go to my house and be with my wife? Like, you want me to start with shallots? And hello, we're at war over here. My general is fighting. All the men of my company are fighting, and you want me to go and, you know, have a relaxing vacation with my wife? That's basically what David HaMelech told him. Adoni Yoav, my master Yoav, meaning his general, va'avdi Adoina, and all the men in my company, alpanei hasadeh, are in the field fighting, they're in their camp fighting, and you want me to go and be with my wife? So, this machlekes exactly what the merida was. Was it the fact that he said no, or was it the fact that he called the general my master in front of the king?
Well, it's also kind of the case that his response was somewhat insulting, because he's saying, like, how can I, you know, go and do this while the men are fighting? And of course, this is the first time we have where David isn't on the front lines himself. In all previous wars, he goes out and fights also. This seems to be the first time in which he didn't go to fight.
Right.
So it's sort of a criticism that, hey...
Right, we're fighting while you were with other people's wives. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay.
But either way, this is... He was married to Malchus after David already did the thing.
So that's true. Right.
Right, the argument is that this is why Uri deserved...
death.
To be executed. Like, yeah. He deserved the death penalty... based on his response to David.
Right.
So it doesn't justify David doing anything with
Bathsheba. Right. At this point, the purpose of it is just to cover up.
But they said, you know, oh, he shouldn't be punished because he was Chayav Misa anyways. But he was Chayav Misa for Moreh B'Malchus after David already sent him to the army. So it doesn't really...
No. What do you mean? What's the problem?
For killing Uri, not Chayav Misa for sleeping with Bathsheba.
Right. Yeah. No. So it works out. It's all Lemaisa. It wasn't a sin because Uriah had sent a get, and the get was worked Bal Karche from the beginning of the retroactively Mafreya from the beginning of the war. So that would have been good. It happens to be that he was killed during the war, so the get went into effect Lemafreya. That it all worked out in the end of the day. What David's purpose in this was more of a political cover up than anything else. The purpose of having Uriah with the wife was not in order to stop the sin. It was in order to cover up politically. It worked out that Uriah rebelled during the order, in which case it set David up to allow him to be executed. Now, David didn't just want to execute him right there, because if he executed him right there, then the get would not go into effect. And then yesterday's incident, or last month's incident, whenever it was, would not have been legal. Because he gave the get on June 1st, let's say. That was when he went to war. He said, on condition that I die in war. So if he dies in the next year or whatever it is, it will work from that June 1st. The Maisa happened, let's say, on July 1st. David is with her. August 1st, they realize she's pregnant. David calls Uriah back and says, go take a vacation. Now, Uriah rebels. At this point, if Uriah were to be killed in the city, so then he wasn't killed by war, then that original get would not have been in effect. Then David, turns out, would have sinned with a married woman. Because at the time that he was with her on July 1st, she was still a married woman.
There's the interesting counterfactual, what if Uri had gone home? That, on the one hand, he would have lived. On the other hand, it meant that David would be had reason for sleeping with Bathsheba, because now that...
No, but I don't know about that, because in the end of the day, he was still at war. Let's say he gave the get on June 1st, and he went to war. July 1st, David was with her. August 1st, he came home, and then he went back to war and was killed on September 1st. I think that original get would have been in effect. It just would have come out that when he was with her on August 1st, I don't know, I'm not sure, but it would have come out that he was with her on August 1st in with a non as a non as a non-married couple.
Maybe,
I don't know, I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of hack about this. There's a lot of raid in the Rishonim. Yeah.
Is the get saying that if the person gets killed in the war, then he is divorced?
Yes.
Or is the get saying when he goes out to war, he is divorced?
There's a machlekas Rishonim about that. For the purpose of our conversation, we're going that if he gets killed in war.
Well, I always thought it didn't come home by a certain point.
Yeah,
if he's gone to war, there's no issue of an aguna.
Yeah, either or. You could say if he gets killed. Yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah, if he doesn't come home by some point. Because if he says if he gets killed by war, so then we don't know if he was killed or not. Correct. If he doesn't come home, version is.
By him going to Bathsheba when David told him to, that would negate the get.
So it depends, because you could say that I come to war at the end of the war. I don't know if it's, you're right. If I'm not sure, let me quickly see Tosfos. Get quickly. The first Rashi al Tanai sheim yamos b'malchama. The second question is ma'achshav. But tzarich lomar the first that avagav the Uriah bomin b'malchama al Tanai he sheim leishem. Yeah, Tosfos speaks out that it's specifically if he comes back at the end of the war. Otherwise, there was no purpose in David doing it.
Otherwise, they need a new conditional get.
Correct.
After seeing Bathsheba, but then for sure David would be either in siege.
Right.
So how do you get that she's divorced? When the husband...
So actually, the way we're learning it is Rashi's version. Tosfos says that it was a complete divorce.
Okay. But he's not killed and he's not missing.
Okay. But he didn't return at the end of the war. The war was still going on.
No, but David slept with her, was with her...
July 1st.
Before that point.
Correct.
So how do we get that she was divorced?
No, the get, in other words, the get, it works as a retroactive thing. A person gives it on June 1st. Then, as of now, technically the marriage is a suffix. Because if he comes back in a year, so then they were always married. The get was never worked at all. If it turns out that that the guy doesn't return from war, either he gets killed or captured or lost, the divorce goes into effect back from June 1st. So since Uriah eventually died during this campaign, it turns out that on June 1st, she was officially divorced. And July 1st, when David was with her, even though at the time that David was with her, she was still alive. Uriah was still alive. And technically, they were still married. But it turns out, Lemafreya, it turns out retroactively, he did nothing wrong. Because retroactively, the get kicked into effect.
It's Schrodinger's get.
It's that, yeah, I haven't heard that. I don't know,
You never heard of Schrodinger's cat?
No. Schrodinger's cat? No. What is it, a Lemafreya type of situation?
Yeah. Well, it's a physics thing. It's a whole thing, I won't get, but basically it's something being both in the state of being alive and dead at the same time.
Yeah, well, exactly. So actually, yeah, this is so what we don't like about what Tosis is, Tosis has some questions on this, that in a similar situation we treat her like a married woman. So what do we mean he didn't sin? So Tosis learns that the divorce went into effect right away. But okay. There's I know a lot of Rishonim on this. So the Gemara says, Amarav, ki ma'ayin es be'be David, le'mishkachas be'bar medu'urya. When you look, now here's Rav saying as well, even though Rav was the one who commented before that Rebbe was saying this just because he was part of David's family, it sounds like Rav was sort of agreeing to him. That when you look into David HaMelech's, rap sheet, the only thing you'll find on it is this incident with Uriah. Tefsiv rak medavar Uriah hachiti. That he caused Uriah to get killed. But with Bathsheba, Hitaka didn't sin. Because like Rebbe said that it turns out that he gave her a get. Turns out that she wasn't a married woman. So the Gemara, Lamaisa, I don't remember if the Gemara is here or not, but what do you mean? I thought with Uriah also, he didn't sin. Teretz says he should have donned him with a Sanhedrin. So Lamaisa, he didn't sin, but he donned him too quick. So it was a smaller Avera. He had him killed without the proper protocol. Abaye Kshisha, now of course, you can imagine that David didn't want to get the Sanhedrin involved in this, because he's going to be like, well, he was Mori B'Machlos. Like, what happened? Well, I told him to go be with his wife for the night. Like, okay. And he said what? He said no. So yes, we're masking that he's Mori B'Machlos. But do you mind if we ask you a question? Like, why are you telling soldiers to be with their wives? So, it's like... Let's just mute that. Okay. The Siv Rak Medavar Yechidi. Abaye Kshisha Rami, the Rav. Abaye asked the question. It said, Abaye Kshisha asked the question on Rav. Mi Amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav say that the only sin that David HaMelech had was Uriah Hachiti? Amar Rav, Kibol David Lashon Hara. Rav is, that David was Makabal Lashon Hara. And we'll see the story in a second. The Gemara says, Kasha. Gufa says the Gemara. Rav Amar Kibol David Lashon Hara. There's another Aver that David did. David was Makabal Lashon Hara. The Siv, Vayomer Lahem Melech. And the Melech said, to Tziva, who was Mephibosheth's son. Sorry, Mephibosheth's attendant, helper. Ephahu, where is Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was the son of Shaul, who was officially happy that David HaMelech took over. Yet, when there was a revolution, David did not have an easy life. When there was a revolution in David HaMelech's camp and David had to run, Mephibosheth did not join David HaMelech. And suddenly there's Tziva, and he asks Tziva, "Where's your master? Ephahu?" Le'emar Tziva elamelech hinehu beis makir ben Amiel. He's by this house. Beloy davar. Now he meant to say beloy davar, meaning he's not a good man these days. He's without any Torah. And the king sent for him. What are you talking about? He came and he was full of Torah. He was still learning. So the Gemara says, Mechti, David, you just saw that this Tziva guy is not a good guy at all. He lied about his master to you. Chazi de Shikra Havi, who? You saw that he's a liar. In the next sentence, when he goes ahead and he tells more Lashon Hara, why did you believe it? My time at Kibla Minei. What's the next sentence? He is in Yerushalayim, and the pasuk continues that he is very happy that you were routed out of Yerushalayim. He's happy that the Malucha is going to go back to somebody else besides you. So basically, here's the king of David Melech. He had to run away. He asked Siva, where's my faithful Mephibosheth? And he's like, oh boy, first of all, he has no Torah left in him. And second of all, he was very happy that you were kicked out of Yerushalayim. He's not coming back. So, one second, you saw that the first piece was totally false. Why did you believe the second piece, that Mephibosheth was against you, when it wasn't true? Mephibosheth was actually a loyal to David. How do we know that he was Mekabalit? So, David, how do we know that he believed him? Because David said, really? Okay, you know what? Here's a royal edict. Anything that belongs to Mephibosheth now goes to you. So, the master becomes the servant, and the servant becomes the master. That was David HaMelech's punishment to Mephibosheth. I bow to you, I'm happy I found chen in your eyes. So, here he was Mekabal Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, Shmuel HaMelech Kibaldav Lashon Hara. He wasn't. Because Dvarim HaNikarim Chazabeh, he called for Mephibosheth, and he saw what he thought was signs that Mephibosheth actually rebelled. So David didn't believe Tziva, but once he saw Mephibosheth, and he looked like he was in mourning that David HaMelech was back, so he was like, aha, Tziva was telling the truth. The Tziva Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Yored Lefnei HaMelech Le'asa Raglav, he didn't do his feet. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe it means he didn't change his pants. He didn't trim his hair on his face. He didn't shave his face, his mustache. Rashi says in Shmuel that it's a lashon that he was misaken the hair between his legs. I don't know what that means. It's an issue to Raisa to do that, so I'm not sure. Also, how did David HaMelech know that? And he didn't wash his clothes. Oh, there he goes, washing his clothes. So there goes my chat. But I don't know how to read that, Rashi. Anyways, do you have a comment there? Did I say anything? What does it mean? Okay. Because Lamaisa, those two questions will hear stand out on Rashi's chat. All right. So he saw what he saw, what he thought were signs that Tziva was telling the truth. When Mephibosheth came back to Yerushalayim and the king said to him, why don't you come with me? My master, Avdi, my servant, Rimani, he tricked me. I was going to come with you, but listen, I'm a lame guy and I needed Tziva to help me up on the camel, on the thing, and he didn't let me come with you. Don't look at me. This Tziva guy, his mom is terrible. I told my servant, go ahead and put up this the chamar for me, and I will ride it to you. And I'm going to go after David Melech. Keep yisayach avdecha, because you know that I'm lame. And not only he ran away from me, and then he told Lashon Hara to you. A total backstabber. And you, my king, are like a malach. Do whatever you think is good. Why are you even speaking? Why you continue to speak your words? David reversed the edict, but not entirely. He said, you'll split all the property. So in other words, he still believed it somewhat. Even if you take everything away, as long as you're back. So the Gemara darshes this that he really meant to say as follows. Amalei, ani amarti masay tavei b'shalom. I was saying here the whole time, when are you going to come back in peace? Va'ata oisli kach, and you do this, you take away my stuff and you give it to my servant? Le'alecha yeshli tamros. I'm not even upset at you. Ela al misha havi yachal b'shalom. I'm upset at the person who brought you back in peace. In other words, at Hashem. And that's why the Gemara calls him, the Pasuk calls him a Meriv Baal. He v'chi Meriv Baal Shema, is his name Meriv Baal? Well, Mephibosheth Shema, his name was Mephibosheth. Ela mitoich she'osu Meriva im Baalav. He made a fight with his master, with Hashem. Yatza Baskal v'amaloi Natza bar Natza. The Baskal says, you fighter, the son of a fighter. Natza had the Amoran, because he fought with Hashem. Bar Natza d'chsev v'yavei shol ad'ir Amalek. And Vayar of Benachal, and Shaul came to the Amalek, and he was fighting in the Vayir Benachal. Amar, what is that Benachal word are doing over there? Amar Abmani al Iske Nachal. He was handling, listen, on the Iske Nachal, that just like by if a person finds a dead body on the floor, even one dead body, they have to take a cow, an Egla Arufa, and go to a Nachal Eisan, and bring the cow there. So David Shaul is like, for one dead body, we have to do this crazy thing. Then you want me to go ahead and kill all of the? You want me to go ahead and kill all of the people of Amalek? And therefore, Shaul refused to listen to Hashem. So Hashem's like, you Mephibosheth, you're fighting with me, and your father Shaul also fought with me. So that's what we call him a Natza Benatza. And I always make this diak anytime we come across this word. Natza, what does it mean? It's such an interesting word. This is the word that is used both in the Psukim and in Chazal to refer to somebody who is fighting and going against Hashem, a Nazi. And how amazing is it that we have the Nazis are the ones who came to give us Teichacha. Just there's no question in the world that it's something, you know, of all words, Nazi. And anytime you fight with Hashem, it's called a Nazi. My point is that it was because we were fighting with Hashem, so Hashem sent the Nazis on us. This is something that's beyond coincidence. That every time, when it's called you fight with Hashem, anytime it's called fighting with Hashem, it's called Natza. It's in the Psukim, Ki Natsuni, when you fought with me. Anytime you fight with Hashem, it's called the Nazi. And the things that came and hit us were the Nazis. I think that's beyond coincidence already, and it's a nice little pat. It's not like one of those punches in the arm you get from Hashem, like, Nazis, I'll... like that. So, but I'm saying the reason why he used that name was like more of like, you know. Tirsev Ayavai Shaul. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. V'shasha Amar David L'Mephibosheth. When David said to Mephibosheth, Atav Tziva Techalko Sasada, you and Tziva are going to split the field. Yatza Baskova Amar Loi. Rechavam V'Yeravam Yechalko Esamalucha. Rechavam and Yeravam will split the kingdom. So just like you're splitting up fields improperly from Shaul, so too will your kingdom be split improperly. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, El Malei LeKibul David Lashon Hara. If it wasn't for that one Kabbalah Lashon Hara, LeNechelka Malchus Beis David, Malchus Beis David would not have been split. VeLo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, and Memela we wouldn't have been served Avodah Zarah because Yeravam is the one who set up Avodah Zarah first because he didn't want people to go to this to neighboring Yerushalayim. VeLo Gilinu Meratzeni, we wouldn't have been sent into Galus. Unbelievable. This is of course the Chafetz Chaim's, you know. Look how bad Lashon Hara is. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan Kal Ha'Emer Shlemi Chet. Whoever says Shlemi sins. Einai Ela Toya. Kal Ha'Emer Shlemi Chet. Whoever says Shlemi sinned is making a mistake. Even though it sounds like in the Pesukim that he sinned. But the Ma'isa, he didn't sin. Shenemar v'lo yahayel avavai shalom im Hashem aleikav kalev of David aviv. His heart was not as pure with running with Hashem as the heart of David, his father. Says the Gemara, kalev of David aviv udu lehavi. He wasn't as good as his father, but he didn't sin. Michtanam lo yichat. Elamani mekayim v'hila eziknas shalomai. I was a pasuk says beferus that when Shalom got old, his wives turned his heart. Nashav hitu es levavai. Says the Gemara, "Ahi Rabbi Nasan, the Rabbi Nasan, Rami Ksev." That's like Rabbi Nasan says, because Rabbi Nasan asks a question. It says, "Vayila Ezikna Shleimer Nashav Hitur Es Lavavim," but Ksev Kalev of David Aviv, and it says the other pasuk which says that he wasn't as good as his father. Kalev of David Aviv Udalayavi, but Michtanami Lachet. So he didn't sin. So Rabbi Nasan already asked this question way earlier. So what is the answer? Ahi Kamar, Vayila Ezikna Shleimer. When Shleimer was older, Nashav Hitur Es Lavavim, the Leches Acharei Elokim Acherim. His wives switched his heart in order to have him go after the other gods, but he didn't go. So in other words, Shlomo married a bunch of wives who were still serving Avodah Zarah, and they tried to get him to sway his heart to serve Avodah Zarah, but he didn't. Says the Gemara, it's a Mefarshim pasuk that he built bamos to the idols. He built these idols. The Chmai Shikuts. Nechmai Shikutz Mayav. Says the Gemara, no, he wanted to, but he didn't. Shebikish Levinis Vilebana. Says the Gemara, that's cheap. Elamayata, Ozi Bani Yeshua, but Mizbech Lashem. Then also it says, Yibani Mizbech Yeshua. Yeshua also, maybe that also he wanted to, but he didn't. Shebikish Levinis Vilebana. Ela Debana, of course that means he built it. So Achanami Debana. So it's over here, it means he built it. Ella says the Gemara, the Tanya Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi says, Omer, Ve'es HaBamas Asher Al Panei Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. It says that the Bamas when Yerushalayim Asher Miyamin Lahara Mishcha, Asher Bana Shlomo Melech Yisrael Ashtarash Shikot Tzidainim. That Shlomo built to the gods of the Shkatzim of Tzidainim. Says the Gemara, one second here. This is already way later on in history. And Klal Yisrael has already fickled back and forth between completely eradicating Avodah Zarah and going back to it, and completely eradicating it. What, this is already the third time that Klal Yisrael is cleaning up their act. Why didn't they clean up the... If it's true that Shlomo HaMelech is the one who set these up, so then why didn't they clean up these in the first two major purges of Eretz Yisrael? Efshar ba asa v'loi bi'aram, yohi shafet v'loi bi'aram, atshar ba yoshio bi'aram, until Yoshia came and the third purging... That's when you needed to take the time to break the ones that Shlomo HaMelech built. All of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael was already purged during two different previous eras during the Klal Yisrael. Ella makish mishoinim achreinim. Rather, there's a hekish between the first ones and the second ones. Ma'achreinim lo osu v'talo behen l'shvach. Avrishoinim lo osu v'talo behen l'genai. Just like these people didn't actually break these idols because they weren't around anymore. But nevertheless, the Torah treats it as if they did because that's what they were doing. That was where they were holding. So too, Shlomo HaMelech, that's what he was holding. He was holding by doing it, but he didn't actually do it. Says the Gemara, b'aksiva, yas Shlomo harabe inei Hashem. It says before that Shlomo did bad. Oive. Says the Gemara, Elam epnei, shahayel elimcha, it's benashav elimicha, since he could have protested with his wives, and he didn't protest, ma'ale alav akasav ki'iluchat, the Torah treats it as if he sinned. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, noyach leilo iset tzadik, sheyehei shamesh ledavar acher, v'al yichtev boi v'yasav rabbi nei Hashem. It would have been better for that tzadik if he actually became a janitor in the church, rather, not actually serving Avodah Zarah, but rather than have the Torah write about him that he did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, b'shashen nasa Shlomo es bas Parai, when Shlomo went and married the daughter of Parai, hechnisa lo elef minei zemer. She brought him 1,000 types of music, of either songs or instruments. V'amar lo, and she said to him, kach oisin la Avodah Zarah plainis, v'kach oisin la Avodah Zarah plainis. You want to hear this song? And she played him all the different church songs. She had a nice church organ there, and she had a bunch of little... people singing Christmas carols and everything. So she was singing him all the different things that they did over the year, to the Avodah Zarah. He didn't protest. He was humming along to Jingle Bells. So he should have protested. When Shlomo married Bas Parai, Yored Gavriel v'noatz kona b'yam. Gavriel came down and he put a reed in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. V'alah b'yisirtan. And dirt started to gather around it, and more dirt started to gather around it. V'nivne krach gadol shel Raimi, until the entire Italy, that whole boot of Italy was built. Unbelievable. If you were to get a picture of during David HaMelech, you get a satellite picture of the Mediterranean, Google Earth, you would not see the whole Italy boot. That came out only after some sort of hurricane or whatever, during the era of Shlomo, when he married Bas Parai. So while he was marrying Bas Parai, there was something going on in the Mediterranean. This huge, sand dune started to be built. And on that, Italy was built. B'masnisa tana oisa hayayim, she'hichnes yiravam, shnei agalei zohav, echer v'vayisel v'echer bedan, nivnet srif echer v'zeh italia shal yavan. And says, when Yeravam went ahead and brought idols into the Beis HaMikdash, at that point was a person on a Greek island built a little hut, and that was the very first hut built in the land of Greece. And from there, another person said, and then they opened a small corner shop, and then they opened this, and then they opened that, eventually to make it the huge metropolis of Greece, which was going to be the Yevanim. Pretty amazing. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So this is really, another one of these things that, you do an action over here And you never know, somewhere halfway across the world, something else is happening directly because of your action. And they say this, of course, with mitzvahs on a much bigger scale. A person does an action over here, suddenly there's a kid in Borough Park who has just missed getting hit, run over by a car. Because you decided to not scream at your spouse when you could have, you just saved somebody's life. Okay. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Bi'anison, Kala Amar Yoshiyahu Chet, the last one. Whoever says that Yoshiyahu sinned, Eine Elatoya. Because it says in the pasuk that Yoshiyahu was the biggest Baal Tshuva we have. Says the Gemara, he never did an Aveira. He went all the ways of David. There was no melech that did tshuva like him. It didn't mean that he did averus and then he was doing tshuva. But rather, anything that he did when he was a youngster, he said, I'm not holding by. Let's say he judged something when he was 8 years old and he said, you're chayev to him. So even though he felt he was right when he was 8, but when he became 25, he's like, you know what? Every judgment that I handed out when I was a kid, I'm going to reverse. And he paid it out of his own pocket. She called in Shadan ben Shmoyne of Ad Shmoyne Ezra until 18. Hechzirin lahen. He refunded. Shematimer not to mizev and not vinasam zev. Maybe he just said, "Okay, refund it. Give back the $100." No, he said, "I'm probably still right, but nevertheless, just in case, Lamaisa, it was an 8-year-old paskening for you, so I'll cover the cost myself." Tamalimer bechal ma'ida. She nasan lahem mishla. He gave with his own money. Upligid the Rav. This argues on Rav. The Amar Rav ain lecha gadol bebalei tshuva yosim yoshiyahu bedoyre. And this argues on Rav because Rav actually says no. He taka is about tshuva. In other words, he did do sins when he was young, but Lamaisa he did tshuva. The Echer B'dayrenu, when he's matched by somebody in our door. Umanu, who is that? It's Abba, Avud Rabbi Yirmiyah, the father of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bar Abba, the son of Abba. Well, that works out. Va'amrila Acha, Achuad Abba, the brother of Abba, who is the Avud Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. The Omer Ma'ar Rabbi Abba, Va'acha Achihavi, as we see that Abba and Acha were brothers. So apparently there were some crimes that this Abba or Acha did, and nevertheless, he did tshuva from them. Amr Rabbi Yosef, va'oid echad b'darin. There's another one in Ardor. Umanu Ukvin bar Nechemya. It's Ukvin bar Nechemya, who, according to many, is Mar Ukva. Reish Kalusa. V'hainu Nasan du Tzitza, and that is the Nasan du Tzitza. Nasan du Tzitza. So this Mar Ukva, this is unbelievable, because Mar Ukva, if you remember just from 2 blot ago, no, even from last blot, it says, Mar Ukva, we came up recently that he was like Shmuel's Rebbe. And so he was mamish an unbelievable. He was mamish a gadol. Yeah, it's the top of Nun Hamad Aleph. Mar Ukva was the Rebbe of Shmuel. So and yet the following story happened where he had taiva for his next door neighbor, the wife, and he was going crazy until he went sick. Where's Mar Ukva? He's not here. He's sick. He pushed it. Went sick. Because of taiva for her. And one day, she needed to borrow something from him. And she knew that the neighbor had the hots for her. So she knocks on the door. And she knew what was coming. She's like, listen, I need to borrow something from you. But I know what you're going to ask for. So I'm ready to give it to you. And he, at that point, was able to overcome his desire and his passions. And he won. Unbelievable. And because of that, and then after that he got better. The Gemara says, Amar of Yosef havi yasivna bepirka. I was middle of the shir. I havi kaminamna. I was falling asleep. V'chazoi b'chilman. I saw in a dream the kapashet yadei v'kible that a hand came out to be mekabel Mar Ukva's tshuva. I don't even know what he did wrong. He must have done something else wrong because there's no iser in having taiva. Maybe he was geirim the taiva on himself. I don't know. Anyways, there are those that say, Rashi says that they put a lamp, after the malach sort of like tipped him on the forehead, and his face it looked like a flame was on his face for the rest of his life. Anytime he walked into the marketplace, he had a candle on his head. Like not an actual candle, but a flame on his head. Okay, that sums up the 5th parak. Adon Alech B'mei Behema, Mitzvah Shem Sunday, we'll do 2 blot on 6th parak. Which talks about how animals are allowed to go out. Have an amazing day, Rabbi Yisai, and Shkayach for tuning in.